beloved radio friends, we greet you in the ever precious and worthy name of our blessed Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. We give you another hearty invitation and a warm welcome to enjoy with us the study of the precious Word of God as we continue in the Galatian Epistle, Galatians chapter 3, where we have had the privilege of considering Paul's theological arguments in relation to the great gospel of God's grace and the contrast of that gospel with other principles of salvation that many falsely would teach. Now we continue in considering another superiority of the gospel that is revealed in this third chapter of Galatians. It is the superiority of faith over works. Now please note, as we have already read in a preceding message, the second verse of this chapter, the third chapter of Galatians, that the works of the law, in verse 2, the works of the law are contrasted by the hearing of faith. This expression, in truth, is repeated again in verse 5, and the repetition of it is of utmost importance, for it brings into prominence a serious and an important consideration. Is a person saved? Does any person receive salvation on the basis of works, or only upon the basis of faith? Now, this is an important question, for there is no question of doubt that many are seeking by works of one form and another to attain the salvation they recognize they need, and seeking to conciliate God by what they do in relation to their life of good works to merit His salvation and recognition. Let us raise the question again. Does the Bible teach that a person is saved on the basis of their works, or only on the basis of faith? Now, once again, God is seeking in this chapter to bring home to the Galatian believers the true ground of their salvation, and the true basis for it even today. It is absolutely not on the ground of works that God gives salvation, but by faith alone. The beloved Apostle Paul recites one of the greatest biblical examples concerning this, by the name of Abraham. And will you note with me in the sixth verse what Paul writes concerning Abraham? Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. That is, Abraham's faith was accounted to him for righteousness. There is a parallel scripture in the book of Romans, chapter 4, where the Spirit of God makes another reference to Abraham concerning the same theme, and contrasting the works of Abraham with his faith. I would like to read Romans chapter 4, verses 1 through 3. Listen to the words that Paul writes. May you clearly hear them and understand them. Paul declares, "What shall we say then? That Abraham our father, as pertaining to the flesh, hath found? For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. For what saith the scripture? Abraham believed God, and it," meaning his faith, "was counted unto him for righteousness." Now please note very carefully that though Abraham undoubtedly had some good works in which he might boast, yet the Spirit of God clearly indicates that he could never glory in these good works before God for his justification. All of his good works were of no avail. But when he believed God, then when he put his faith in God's word of promise. It was then that God counted him righteous. Now let me follow this through in the book of Romans chapter 4. May I read in verse 5 the words the apostle has written. Now note these words very carefully. I would very earnestly present this truth to those who may believe that they may work for their salvation and their recognition of righteousness before God. Note the words we now quote from Romans chapter 4 and verse 5. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Now I would ask you a serious question, my friend. In the light of these words that we have just read from the book of Romans, and in the light of what we have read from Galatians chapter 3, is it then possible for any person to work for his or her salvation? Does God give salvation to those who are seeking to work for it, to merit it, to do some notable thing or things whereby they may obtain it? I wonder if you would permit me to use some familiar opinions that we often hear from the lips of others and the examples that are sometimes presented as being the merit for salvation. You will find that some people will say to you, I am doing the best that I can to live in order that God will forgive me and save me. Now, whilst an answer is given in request for knowing the way of salvation, this answer implicates the fact they are trusting in what they are doing. But God says, I do not give righteousness by doing the best that you can. I give it only to those who will not work for it. Now, very carefully listen to the truth. It may seem unpleasant as well as ridiculous to some. God says it is given to him that worketh not. So if you, my friend, feel that you are doing the best that you can, will you please take God at his word that he indicates very clearly salvation, your righteousness before me, can never be obtained by your works. May I give another illustration of what we sometimes hear in answer to the question, know that perhaps you are saved and will be with God in glory? Some will tell you and me, I joined the church. I am a church member, and I'm counting on my church membership and my good connection and affiliation in this particular thing. And you can point to this as one of your good works, and you may be even active within the realm of that local church. But God still declares, I do not save you on the ground of good works. You cannot, even in this particular phase, expect me to save you by the valuation you place on your church membership. May I go even further, some might say, and declare, I have been baptized and believe that my baptism will save me. Now again, let me say, if you believe that baptism will save you, you are depending upon some work, a work that you do, the work of baptism, for your salvation. I know that there is a proper place for baptism, for Christian baptism, but it is not for salvation. And if you by any chance may feel that water baptism saves you, you are wrong. You are depending upon what you do, or upon what you have done, not upon what Christ has done, when by himself he paid the penalty of your sins upon the cross. It is by faith alone in the atoning death of Christ that your soul and mine can be saved, not by baptism. Though I emphatically declare that baptism should follow the confession of faith when one trusts the Lord Jesus Christ. Now others will say to me, why, I take communion. I have the Lord's Supper. And you may count that as being a worthy indication of your merit to be saved. But if you consider that, in so doing, you are indicating that your works will bring you salvation. And again, God says you are wrong. I give my righteousness, I give my great salvation only to those who do not work for it. Others would say I give generously of my money to the church, or to humanitarian projects and social welfare, and which some of it may be proper and good. But God says, if you think I'm going to save you because you do this, you are wrong. You cannot work, for my righteousness is a gift and given to him that worketh not. We could continue on in many ways, revealing how precious souls may seek to be working for God's righteousness and their salvation. My beloved friend, it is impossible. Then how can we receive it? How can a sinner be saved? Entirely apart from what he or she can do, listen carefully. Christ did the work to save your soul when he died upon the cross. The whole responsibility for you and for me is this. You must believe it. I must believe it. I must rest my faith, not on the work that I do, but upon the work that he has done by himself when crucified for my sins at Calvary. My radio friend, stop your deadly working if you are doing it for your salvation. You can only be saved by faith in the finished work of our Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, blessed Father, we plead with earnestness. Thy Holy Spirit will convict some dear sinner to put his or her trust in that work Christ has done on the cross for his name's sake. Amen.